Hey, this is Keith. I'm the pastor at Truth Community Church, and I want to thank you for checking out our podcast today. Wherever you're listening from, I hope this message leads you to discover Jesus, connect with people, and serve the world. If you want to take your next step, visit us online at truthcommunity.org. Now, let's dive into the message. But today, July 1st, we are kicking off a brand new set of talks called Squad Goals. Okay, squad goals. Now, let me give you some terminology here. A squad is like your friend circle. Okay, so that's your squad, like squad up, squad goals, hashtag, all that stuff. Okay, so we're learning things together today. It's a good day. So you have a squad. You have friends. You have people in your life that you look to. They're the ones that you'll eat ice cream with. They're the ones you'll share your life with. They're your friends. They're coworkers or family members. And what we want to do this month for the month of July is we want to figure out how can we have better squads? How can we treat one another differently? How can we honor one another? How can we love one another? How can we carry one another? These are all the things that we're going to look at over the next few weeks together. And the hope and the goal of this series is that we would discover how to live out our squads in a way that honors God, in a way that you want, so that your squad can be great and try to beat my squad in Can Jam next week, okay? That's the goal here. And so I'm excited for you today, for you to be here. And I'm real excited because today, as we kick off this set of talks, part one, Amy is going to kick it off for us. God has put a message in her heart, and so I'm excited for her to share the words that God have put in her heart. So would you welcome Amy as she comes up here today?
Thank you. Hi, everyone. Okay, I got some advice. I'm just going to pretend we're all in my living room, and that's what we're going to do. So first, I'm just going to pray for our time together. So if you can just close your eyes and bow your heads. Dear Heavenly Father, we just thank you for this time that we can come together, read your words, and discover more of your love for us, Lord. I pray for each person in this space, that their hearts will be changed, that we will continue to be present in your love, Lord. We thank you for this time together. Bless it. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Okay. So, have you ever been in a room with someone that you didn't love? That's my question. Yes. Okay. All right. So we all could relate and connect that we've been somewhere where we couldn't like that person right now. And I remember for many years, I was a nanny before I had kids and while I was in college. And I had four kids that I would watch. So there was always a lot going on, a lot of bickering, a lot of fighting. And the second to last, maybe around the time that he was 3 or 4 years old, he would get picked on a lot. He would say things like, "I can't like you right now." And that was like his go-to phrase. He would say it like to his toe when he would sub his toe. He'd be like, "I can't like you right now." Or if he lost a game in Nintendo, "I can't like you right now." Or his older sisters, "I can't like you right now." And when I was preparing for this, that came into my head. And I think today, even though it's really cute when you're 3 and 4 years old and you're saying to your older sister, "I can't like you right now," and we would laugh and giggle at him, I think today we could all kind of relate that we still say that. We say that sometimes to people. "I can't like you right now." And it doesn't always feel so good. Even though we want to push against that and we want to say, you know, I don't care about that person. I don't care what they're doing. They can have their life. I'll live my life. And we'll just live like that. But the reality is those situations, it doesn't feel good when we say, "I can't like that person." Sometimes they'll come down to avoiding that person. We'll take all necessary precautions to not go near that person. If we're at a family barbecue, we know we don't get along with, you know, aunt or uncle so-and-so. We'll kind of walk the long way. We're, you know, really, really just not get close to that person. We'll avoid that person so much that we're actually paying attention to them the most. Right? So we're avoiding them so much that, you know, we're really heightened to what they're doing. So regardless of saying we don't care or I don't care what they're doing or they can live however we want, the reality is that we're hurting by not caring about them. I know that for me, there have been situations in my life, past and present, where it's hard for me to love someone that I just can't like right now. I just can't like you. Sometimes I find myself at work saying, like, you're driving me bananas. And it's just like a nice way of saying, like, you're making me really crazy. But the reality is that in my heart, I'm not showing that person love. So I know that we all experienced this before, because I have. Whether it's that coworker that really drives you crazy or a broken relationship, family member you haven't spoken to in many years, person that you just met, and you're just like, we're so opposite. I'm not liking this person right now. The question is, who could walk in those doors right now that would make you walk out? So just wrestle with that for a minute. Who would walk in those doors right now and you'd walk out? And we all either experienced this before, are experiencing it, or definitely will experience it, I promise you. In this situation, it could have been 20 years ago that it happened, and you're still holding on to that bitterness and resentment in your heart against that person. You may even forgotten about it, but now, right now, me talking is remembering those feelings. So seeing that person would bring back all those years of feeling bitter and feeling resentment and some unlovely characteristics inside your heart. So, I know that it seems impossible to love that person if they walked in those doors right now. And I know that you're thinking, Amy, you don't know what they did. You have no idea what they did. And I may not know exactly what happened, but I can relate. And I know you're probably thinking, they don't deserve my love. And you feel justified. Whatever happens, you know, you may be right. We're so opposite. Me and that person, we're so opposite. We can never get along. It's never gonna happen. Like, it's too hard. It's impossible for me to show love to that person. It's impossible for me to stay in this room if they were sitting right over there. I really couldn't do it. And, you know, society tells us you don't have to. You don't have to like everyone, right? We hear that all the time. I live my life, you live your life, and I don't have to like them. Or I don't care what they're doing, right? And we end up caring the most about what they're doing and talking the most about that situation. And you know what that is? That's not living free. I'm telling you this morning, and you're all my friends, so I feel like I can just really share and encourage from my heart. That's not living free, and I know it because I've experienced it. We feel bitter, resentful, and we're consumed with the situation of pushing that other person aside. And what if I can tell you today, you could actually love that person? Don't throw anything at me, because you could. You can, and I know you all know and have experienced Jesus' love. And I know when we come to church, that's what we talk about, Jesus' love. But you can. You can love that person that, in your eyes, in society's eyes, doesn't deserve your love. They did something that is so hard to deal with for you. But if you could love that person, how would that change your day? How would your experience at family events and parties change? You wouldn't have to walk the long way to the drinks, right? You could walk past them. You could smile. You can show them love. How would your heart feel different? Would you be able to live freely? The answer is yes, you would. So how do we get there? And this is the journey that we're all on together right now. Is how do we get to a life where we're living freely to love one another? And what we're going to do is we're going to read the words of Jesus recorded by John, one of his disciples, in John chapter 13, verses 34 and 35. And what Jesus says to his disciples on the night before he was crucified was, "A new commandment I give to you, that you love one another, just as I have loved you. You also are to love one another. By this, all people will know that you are my disciples if you have love for one another." So what Jesus is saying to his disciples is a new commandment. And for his disciples, they were like, "Jesus, like, we have 600 commandments already to follow. Another commandment?" And then Jesus starts talking and they're like, "Oh, okay, love. We get it, right? Love one another." But how do we do that? Right? Society tells us you don't have to like everybody. It doesn't matter. I mean, society also says love, right? But is it true free love? And in that second part of that scripture, Jesus says, "By this, all people will know that you are my disciples if you love one another." And today, if you call yourself a Christian and you say, "Yes, I believe in Jesus, and I'm trying my hardest to follow him every day," this verse is for us. This verse is for me. This verse is for you here right now. "By this, by loving one another, people around you will know me." That's what Jesus is saying. So when you love that person that you promised that you would never be in that room with, you are showing God's love. And I believe that's what we're called to do. And I really want to encourage you in that. I know it feels and it seems hard. It seems impossible to do. But Jesus is encouraging us. Jesus' whole life, he showed his disciples, he gave them the tools on how to love people that were so unlovable. Yeah. That their society, during Jesus' time, they pushed them out. They would literally be like, "You can't live with us." Yeah. Like, "You can't live with your family, you have this disease, you have this going on, you're living this way." Yet Jesus, he met them where they were at, and he loved them. He showed them love. Yeah. And that is truly living freely. So later that night, Jesus says in John 15, 4 and 5, I'm just going to read it. "Abide in me and I in you, as the branch cannot bear fruit by itself unless it abides in the vine. Neither can you unless you abide in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. Whoever abides in me and I in him, he it is that bears much fruit. For apart from me, you can do nothing." So every September, Keith, me and the kids, and sometimes my brother-in-law and sister-in-law, we like to go apple picking. And I know out here on Long Island, that's what a lot of people like to do around that time. We go apple picking. And I'll see Nate go up to the apple tree. He'll take the apple off. You know, he'll start eating it halfway through, drop it on the ground. Like, doesn't finish it. But we like to go apple picking. And when you think of what Jesus is saying here, he's talking about branches. He's talking about a tree. So you think, you see all those apple trees all lined up in the orchard. And I can just visualize Nate picking that apple off of that tree, that fruit. The one thing, though, that I've never seen Nate do is go down to the ground, find a branch that's just kind of hanging out, and take apple off of it, right? Because the apple, it wouldn't grow on a branch that was just hanging around on the ground. It only grows if it's connected to the tree. And I think Jesus' analogy that he's using to show his disciples how to bear fruit, how to love one another, is to abide, stay connected, remain, continue to be present in him. When I was looking up this word abide, I didn't really know what it meant. Like, I kind of knew, I read it, and I was like, "Oh, abide, okay." But it's not something that we use. It's not a term that we use a lot. So as I researched the word abide, I found that it meant remain, obey. And this one really struck me: continue to be present. So what Jesus is saying is, continue to be present with me. Continue to be present in my love, and you will bear fruit. You will be able to love one another. So what does all the apples and everything have to do with love? And we just talked about it a little bit. But I want you to know that loving one another, it's not built on me up here. It's not built on we together, but it's built on he. Yeah. Because culture says, oh, I'll try to like them. Oh, you know, it doesn't matter. We're opposite. They could live their life. I'll live mine. I don't have to be nice to that person or love that person. Or fine, I'll be nice, but it's not real. It's not genuine. It doesn't matter. But Jesus says to be present with him, you will love others. You will love that person. That if they walked in right now, you'd be like, I don't think so. I don't think I could like, I can't like them right now. But abiding, continuing to be present with Jesus, you will love that person. Yeah, yeah. And I know that because I've lived that. Yeah. So Jesus leaves us with a promise. Why does this all matter? Love someone, right? What is Jesus promising for us? And in John 15, verse 11, he says, these things I've spoken to you, that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be full. And I think about that. We like to use the analogy, oh, like, do you look at the glass half empty or half full, right? What Jesus is saying here is when you abide in him, you continue to be present in him, his promise is full joy. Like overflowing glass joy, joy that we can't find anywhere else. I promise you, it's nowhere else in this world, that joy. It is only found in Jesus. So the question is, how long has it been since you experienced that true, full joy? You may have been serving Jesus and knowing, discovering him for a long, long time, and you're like, I've heard this before, but I promise that you could always find full joy in him over and over and over. And you may just be discovering Jesus for the first time recently, and you have something to look forward to. This promise of joy is like no other. In full joy, you be complete. You're lacking nothing. Nothing's half empty. You're so full of his joy that you're able to love that person that seems so unlovable. You're able to forgive that person that did the unthinkable thing. I listened to one podcast before, and something just horrific happened to this family. They lived in Florida. Her name's Rachel Henry, if you want to look her up. Her story's incredible. And she was at home without her husband. I think she had 3 or 4 kids. They were young. And 3 invaders came into her home. And they did unimaginable things to her. And her story really touched me. And I didn't share this earlier, so I don't know why I'm sharing this now, but I am, because I feel like someone needs to hear it. And by the end of her story, and it was really heartbreaking, she came out on the other side, and she was able to go to these men they're hearing, and she was able to love them and forgive them. And I thought about that and said, I don't know if I could do that in myself, because I couldn't. And it was so encouraging to hear her words of saying, in Jesus, because of Jesus, I could love those people that did those things that are just awful, so awful. And I'm just encouraging you all today, and I hope that you can see my heart, and that I know it feels hard, and it feels like you can't love. You don't know the hurt that I have, Amy. You don't know the pain that it's cost me. You don't know what that person did to my family, to me. you don't know the situation, and I may not know exactly what's going on, but I do know that there's a God that loves you so much that he wants you to live freely. He doesn't want you to live in that pain and that hurt. He wants you to have full joy. And it's not God's best. It's not God's best for us to continue to live in that hurt and pain and in that situation. So Jesus restates his commandment in verse 12 to his disciples. He says, "This is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you." So he repeats himself, right? As a mom, as a teacher, I repeat myself over and over and over. So I can relate to Jesus, but he's repeating myself. So Jesus said this again, "This is my commandment, love one another as I have loved you. I showed you how to love. I showed you how to love others that society has put aside, that no one else likes, that I can't like you right now, person." Jesus says and continues in verse 13, "Greater love has no one than this, that someone lay down his life for his friends." And today, I think we all know and believe that Jesus calls us friends, and sometimes we just need that reminder. So that's what I'm doing. I'm reminding you that Jesus has called you his friend. Even when it feels like he's not close and he feels like he's not your friend, I promise you he is your friend. You need to rest in that today and know that he loves you. Jesus loves you so much that he laid down his life for you. And that night, as he was talking to his disciples, the very next day, after saying this, that's exactly what Jesus did. He went to the cross. He died a death he didn't deserve for people that didn't love him back, people that said to Jesus, "I can't like you." That's what they said. They threw stones at him. They spit on him. They said, "I can't like you right now, Jesus. I don't like you." Yet Jesus would do it again and again. He would die on that cross for you today, here in this space, because he loves you. Despite how you're feeling about yourself, he loves you. Despite the situation and despite that person that really gets you like all wanting to leave this room, he loves you so much. So when it gets really difficult, because it will, I promise, it'll be really difficult. Monday mornings tomorrow, it's going to be really difficult for me to go to work and to love that person, that coworker, that family member at the party. Let's remember all the tools that Jesus gave his disciples and gave us today to continue to be present with him. You will be able to show love to the unlovable, the person that hurts you, the mentally, physically, emotionally broken relationship. You will be able to show love as you continue to be present with Jesus. Loving one another, it's not built on me. It's not built on me, but it's built on he. So my encouragement for you today is, if you're just discovering Jesus, keep discovering him. Abide, continue to be present in him. And if you've known him for a long time, you're not off the hook, because the same thing applies. Continue to be present with him. And how can we do that? So I have some next steps for you. The first one is connect daily with Jesus. Whatever that looks like. You could download on your phone the Bible app. You just type in Bible, pops up. There's daily scripture verses. Just start there. Say, "I'm going to read that every day. I'm going to spend 5 minutes reading that verse that pops up." There's also tons and tons of Bible plans on that app. You could look up anything you're struggling with. You're struggling with loving someone. You're struggling with grief. You're struggling with pain. Look it up. You'll find a Bible plan for you that you'll be able to read words of other people that walk through the same things that you may be feeling. Or you'll be able to find scripture verses to hold on to during those moments. So promise you're going to do that. Or open your real Bible, too. That's good. Not just on your app. I'm just saying, if you don't have, you know, that access, but you always have your phone with you, so that works. But the second one is connect weekly. And that's here, what you're doing right now. So I'm super thankful for everyone here today that you'd say, yeah, I want to come. I want to connect with Jesus. It's really important because that's how we find out more about him, more about each other, and we're able to rest in that love. And then the last one is connect personally. And that's super exciting because this fall, we're going to be launching groups. So every week, we're going to have groups running where you can meet with other people that want to discover more of Jesus' love, just like you do. And by doing that and connecting with those people in your group every week, you can't not love. You're going to experience such full joy and love being with people that are encouraging you. And I know for me, walking through this loving, not feeling like I could like someone recently, if it wasn't for the people that I was connecting with weekly, it would have been that much more difficult. So I'm letting you know it's essential. Groups are super essential. And what you're going to do is you're going to go in the chair back in front of you right now. You're going to find a card. I had one up here. Oh, I have it. Looks like this. Super fancy. Group interest card. You're going to take it out right now. And then, super convenient, there's a pen right next to that spot. You're going to take that out, too. This is like my teacher voice. And you're going to fill this card out. Okay? And that's going to let us know how many people are interested in these groups. And I promise you, you won't be disappointed by joining a group. It's going to change you. It can't not change you. You're going to discover more about Jesus, and you're going to have community with people that want to discover more about Jesus. And we all know it's true, and I know, like, when I was a teenager, my mom would be like, oh, if you hang out with those people, you're going to become like those people, right? But this is, like, the good part of it. Hang out with those people that want to love, that want to grow closer to Jesus, because you're going to want it to, and it'll change you for forever. So you're going to take that card, you're going to fill it out, you're going to drop it in a box on your way out. As you fill that out, I'm just going to take a moment to pray for you. And then we're going to sing a song to reflect on God's love. Dear Lord, we thank you for this time that we got to spend discovering more of your love that you have for us, Lord. Thank you for compelling us to love others the way that you have loved us, Jesus. I pray for each person here today that as they continue to be present with you, that you will show them the love that you have for them over and over, Lord, and that they will just show that to others. We thank you, Jesus, for this day. We pray great blessings upon every person here, Lord. Pray for their tomorrows, Jesus, that your love will overflow, your joy will be like nothing they have experienced before, Lord. We love you, Jesus.